Good morning. Hope you're making it where you got to get to in one piece today.
Yeah, take your time.
Take your time. Good morning. Good morning. It's a Wednesday. Got the power surge coming up in a half hour. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. John, how was your commute into work today?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, I had a chance to, you know, see a lot of my favorite people with the emergency hazards on. We know it's slippery.
Yep.
But yeah, it was fine. Let's literally just take your time. This is one of those, it's very wet, heavy snow, a lot of slush. And so the wheels get stuck in a rut. All of a sudden you get jerked over to the side and hey, you just heads up, be safe, take your time, get where you're going and we'll have a good time. We'll have a good time this morning.
Never want to get jerked to the side.
I was waiting for it.
I got to tell you, the night and day difference for me, and I got to 8 Mile and all of a sudden it started getting worse. And then the 696 ramp eastbound, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've got a truck. I have front wheel, which is better, usually. I have new tires on my front.
Yeah.
I was surprised the traction that I was struggling with. Like, yeah, it was not good.
It's slippery. It really doesn't matter what you're driving. Like, I'll try and avoid any more drops, but if you may be able to get going with four-wheel drive, but no one has four-wheel brakes. So just use some common sense, and you don't have to crawl. There is a safe speed.
Yeah.
Find that safe speed. Everybody goes the same you know, speed, and you will all arrive safely.
Yeah, hopefully. I would say commute time for me doubled. That's just what it's going to be when the roads aren't fully plowed. Like, some stretches were great. You get on, for me, 696 when I got on was great.
Yeah.
By the time I had merged onto Telegraph, I'm doing ABS trying to find whose lane is it anyway to get in the grooves and get here in one piece. So yeah. Be safe out there.
No. I mean, I love the challenge. It's fun.
I white knuckle a little bit on 696. Like, I usually, you know, John, we're pretty similar, I think.
Yeah.
You do what you're supposed to do, and it's not that difficult.
Right.
But there were points where I was like, wow, I can't find my spot.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's because there were multiple areas where if you're in the far left, and it was surprised, the far left lane going eastbound on 696 was the best one, which is normally not the case. But then all of a sudden that would end and it would all of a sudden be on the right. And trying to get from one to the other, like just heads up, be safe. And the roads are not great right now. I think the road crews are doing a tremendous job. Wayne County, when I went from Washtenaw to Wayne County, well done.
When did this snow start falling?
About 10 o'clock last night.
Okay. It is that wet snow and it's just kind of lingered.
Yeah, my commute wasn't much longer than it normally is. I mean, it was a little bit. I mean, I'm going, instead of 65, I'm going 55. But it was the trying to shovel the snow this morning in the driveway because it was heavy.
Heart attack snow.
Yeah, it could be. Yes, yes. Fortunately, I'm still below that 50 number.
And all this is going to change. Like, I know it was like 34 at my house, and that's why the roads were better. It's crazy, like, if you get to 32. Once it hit 32 on my thermostat on my car, the roads got way worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, when you live as far south as you do.
All the way in Tecumseh.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I was looking at the traffic map yesterday of the Detroit area before I went home because it's a little dicey when we left here yesterday. And I noticed there's a Tecumseh, Ontario. That might be closer than Tecumseh, Michigan.
We will get to Michigan hoops from last night. The Tigers making a deal at the winter meetings. Heather, how was your commute into work today? Good morning.
Good morning. It was long and adventurous. Slow. Yeah. No, it really was. Like, I felt like I'm very tired. Like, it was very long. It was just a long, doubled for sure my time. I really had no idea because when I went to bed and I knew schools were being closed, but I'm like, there's nothing really out there. When I woke up and saw the amount of snow on the driveway, I was like, oh, man, I'm screwed. Like, I did not leave early enough. I did not realize how bad it was going to be.
Schools were way ahead of the curve last night.
Yeah. And I was like, really? Already? And I get it now.
It makes
sense. I'm far north, and it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we started getting the notifications last night at, I think Jack was notified first, right around 7-ish, about midway through the first half of the Michigan game. And then, and obviously he's making fun of his sister because his is canceled and hers was not. And then a little bit later, her school is always kind of like, they usually are the ones that wait until about 4 a.m. before they send out the email, and the phone rings, just and I think they just like to mess with people. But they did it early last night, so it was great.
You mentioned that during the Michigan game.
Yeah.
How about this team?
They are, I was texting Doug last night, a lot of fun to watch. They play a very fast pace. If you listen to Dusty May before the game, he was being interviewed, and he's like, yeah, we want to be able to get out and run. We want to play fast. We want to make teams match that tempo, that speed, and it's certainly what they do.
They have the best defense in college basketball, and unlike a lot of teams that play good defense, they don't play at a snail's pace. You know, like there are those teams, I think about Virginia teams over the years, Tony Bennett teams, you just sit in a little shell and you play boring basketball, but it's good defense. No, Michigan will come up and challenge you, take the ball away, run and dunk in your face, and they'll blow you out. And they've done that now 6 straight wins by 25 or more points. And that was Villanova. They've done it to Gonzaga. They've done it to really good basketball teams.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a guy on the team. And the other thing about this team is they're very deep. And, you know, Dusty May has said it. We get two of about everything. And when you look at this run, it was 3 games scoring 100 points. Last night, I thought maybe they'd get to that 4th in a row.
They could have if they wanted.
Right, but no one scores over 20 points.
Yeah.
And so you're looking like everybody is a part of the action. And what I was starting with saying, I don't think there's a guy on this team that's never ever seen a shot that they don't like. Like, they're getting up and down the floor, and they're chucking it up.
And they're long. Like, Cadeau's not a big guard, but the other guards are big, and then the front court is supersized. They were plus 20 on the glass. They defend, they rebound, they punish.
They're a lot of fun to watch.
They should be the number one team. I know they are in the coaches' poll. They should be in the AP poll. 9-0. They're the only team since at least the 1995-96 season to win 6 straight by at least 25 with 2 or more coming against ranked teams.
Yeah.
Doing stuff that haven't happened since the 90s.
Yeah. And so I mentioned I was texting Doug, and I said, hey, you know, damn, this Michigan team is really fun to watch. And then he texts me, honestly, they're making it kind of boring. They just destroy people. It's that all the games aren't going to be like this. Enjoy it while it happens. The you don't have to worry, you know, mid second half, what's going on. You miss a couple of shots, you miss a couple of free throws. That's the other thing. They shoot free throws.
What's Doug's point? That game was over in the first half. They're up 30 points. Game over.
Okay.
And I mean, they don't play a currently ranked team until late January. So they could go on quite a bit of run here. I mean, they already are. Some of the texts that have come in. This snow is best described as mashed potato snow.
Oh.
Do you agree with that?
Mashed potato snow.
Kind of clumps and sticks.
I don't like clumpy mashed potatoes.
I think it was well, it's not lumpy.
It's just, this is, I get the analogy. Sure. This is a wet, heavy snow. And I mean, you could make a pile and make a little dent in the middle where you could put your gravy. Sure. It would hold its form.
Lots of salt in it.
And so one thing I did do. And this is this for all the dads out there, if you're about ready to leave, this is great packing snow.
Mm.
Now is the time to make your snowballs and hide them somewhere in the yard, outside the garage, maybe, you know, wherever. Because I know as soon as I come home, there's going to be a snowball fight, and I need ammo ready to go. So I have a dozen snowballs hidden, ready to fire at the kids.
It's called experience, people.
Yes, yes. And by that time, they might actually be a little bit more frozen, so it might sting a little bit more.
This is not your first rodeo.
Oh, no.
You know what you're doing. I just got to work, counted 9 cars in a ditch, and a semi slid off onto the shoulder. Felt like I was in a Final Destination movie on the way to work.
Yeah. Slippery roads.
Heather, thank you for saying long and slow. Great drop material.
That's all right. I don't know if you heard my drop, but yes, I have.
What did you say?
I already said it. I don't need to repeat
and
it.
I don't think it's been turned around quite yet. M59 is in good condition from one ticket texture. Your conditions may vary. Be safe out there on the way into work.
I think what everybody's saying is that all the white stuff is really sticky.
Yes.
Yes, Greg. Yes. That's what they're saying.
Yes, yes. It's like sticky rice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Finnegan, back with the Tigers. Last headline to hit as we start the show here. 2-year deal, $19 million. You figured this was going to happen.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's going to be back there. I thought he was a good addition. And we just get Finnegan now. We don't have Finnegan and Friends.
Right. The Friends part is still to come.
Yeah. Well, the Friends part, the friends he arrived with have already departed.
New friends.
Yes.
Acquaintances. We'll see. At the winter meetings, Tigers making a move. Want to see some more moves? We're going to have Evan Petzold of the Free Press from the winter meetings in Orlando joining us in the 7 o'clock hour today. Get some of his thoughts. The Scooble saga rages on. 650, we'll revisit that conversation with some new info. And John's got a power surge. His top teams in the NFL as we get late in the season. That's coming up at 635. Coming up next, can you believe this guy's getting back into football?
Mm.
97.1.
Hey Detroit, it's Heather here with some big news. Verizon, America's best 5G network, wants you to bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill, and they'll give you a better deal. If you think Verizon is expensive, well, think again. Not only does Verizon let you lock in your low price for 3 years, everyone in the family can mix and match their plans with My Plan, and everyone can get the same great phone deals when they trade in an eligible phone in any condition on My Plan. That means new and existing customers. That's more reasons to save, more reasons to switch. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Detroit Verizon store, and they'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics United States Root Score Report dated first half 2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid customer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. 3-year price lock applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply to promotional offers. See www.verizon.com/switch-2-Verizon/.
Good morning. If you're making your way where you need to go, plan for a little extra time.
Yep.
Take your time and be safe. Get there in one piece. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Hit some headlines to start the show. We didn't mention you got a grandpa making his return to the NFL, Philip Rivers.
He literally is a grandpa. Since he has retired the first time, we've heard this rumor a couple of times where teams get, you know, a quarterback hurt midseason. You know, is Philip Rivers going to work out and try out? He's had a kid. He's up to 10, I believe. And his oldest has also had a kid. So he is now a grandpa. 44 years old, last played in 2020. And he was signed to the Indianapolis practice squad. If Riley Leonard can't go, don't be surprised if he's bumped up and you see him start a game this weekend.
They're playing Seattle. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. John, I mean, you talk about a defense that's flying around.
John, is there any way this works? Is this a good idea to throw this guy into the Wolves 5 years removed?
Okay, so you have to classify good idea. Is it a good idea? Would it be a good idea at the beginning of the year to go into the season signing Philip Rivers? No. Would it be a good idea to have him as your franchise quarterback? No. But if you are out of options, is it a better idea than Riley Leonard? It might be.
I don't know that it is.
Well, I don't know either. So that's the thing that we don't know. Have you seen Philip Rivers run? Have you seen him throw a ball?
Well, I know the last time he was playing football, he couldn't run, and that was 5 years ago.
All right. So
you don't get more limber.
No, you don't. But, I mean, I just don't know what it's going to look like. And until we see it, if we ever do, then we can decide whether it was good or not. He won't be able to run like Riley Leonard, but he can process the game. He can make decisions, and maybe he can't throw a ball over 45 yards or 40 or 35 yards. Hell, I don't know. But if he can keep their heads above water, sure. I actually kind of am excited that somebody is. They had a break glass in case of emergency moment. And, you know, none of their quarterbacks that they were counting on going into the season are available. What else would you have done? Just live with Riley Leonard and say, you know what? We're just going to lose the rest of our games.
Who are the NFL free agent quarterbacks that aren't ancient grandfathers who have played practiced in the last 6 months to a year. Those guys would be better options, right?
I don't know.
This is going to be fascinating if he plays.
If they weren't, and so if you have somebody that's a free agent right now, and they weren't good enough to be a starter, they weren't good enough to be number two, they weren't good enough to be on a practice squad, a 44-year-old who played as long as he did and had his career might actually be a better option. Would I want to do it? I don't want to be in that position to have to make that decision.
So quarterbacks that are unsigned, C.J. Beathard, Jeff Driskel, Jake Fromm.
Philip Rivers may be the best option.
They are in a desperate spot. They traded multiple first-round picks to get Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
They are all in to win this year. Yeah, and he's hurt, by the way, too. It doesn't help. They're in a free fall. They've lost 4 of 5. Their owner is super involved, asking questions, wants to win. What are you going to do? Well, we own Philip Rivers' rights. He retired as a Colt. Mm-hmm. By the way, this delays, I'm sure you've seen this, his Hall of Fame clock if he comes back and plays.
Yeah, I put that in my prep. It certainly, if he takes a snap, it's going to reset that 5 years from now.
Isn't that the ultimate, like, football dude? He's like, yeah, I'll delay the clock if I get a chance to go sling the pigskin with some buddies for a few hours. Happens to be an NFL game with the season on the line. Like, that's such a football guy mentality, right? Just get back out there.
We all have that dream. If you played in the NFL, and there are guys that even if you retired due to whatever injury, it never leaves your soul. You always believe that you can go out there for one play, one series, one game, maybe even an entire season, and you're sitting there going, is somebody going to have that break glass moment? Now, there are very few positions where this could be a possibility. I think quarterback is one of those positions just because they're, you know, should be well protected. Indianapolis's line, he's going to be well protected. They have a run game. It's not going to be the sole focus that Philip Rivers has to go out there and throw for 300 yards.
What about other names? Ryan Tannehill? Cam Newton? Would these guys be better fits than a grandfather who hasn't played in 5 years?
Okay. And I don't know. Did they call Cam?
I don't know. Like,
so here's the other thing is when you retire, unless you were cut, you'd have to go back to that team or you'd have
They'd
to
have
give
to cut
up
you. Yeah.
Draft compensation.
You can't trade now, right?
Right. And so, you can't. So you're again, yeah, Cam Newton, I don't know what his status was when he retired, but he may not be an option for him.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to be released by the team you last played for, assuming you were still under contract when
right.
you retired.
Yeah, you think Carolina is going to say, yeah, we'll just release Cam Newton and let him go play wherever he wants. No, you want to give us a sixth or a seventh or, you know, and everybody's going to say no.
Yeah.
I believe the analogy is we have McDonald's at home.
Right.
Out of morbid curiosity, I do want to see what happens if he plays.
Oh, I'm begging to see this. Because then it does, like, it kind of almost makes that dream a reality.
Does Tom Brady see this and go,
So Philip Rivers, I believe, is a high school football coach. Football season's over. He can play a couple of games, go back to being his high school football coach. Tom is gainfully employed, making a lot of money.
Yeah. I just mean, is it like a competitor? He's like, damn, if Philip Rivers is getting back into
this. We all look at it and go, if Philip Rivers could do it, hell, I could do it.
Well, it'd be complicated with Brady because he's got minority ownership with the Raiders.
Right.
It would probably have to be with the Raiders.
Right.
Or it would get extremely complicated.
Right.
I don't know how you can have a stake in a team and play for somebody different.
No, I don't think you can.
You have to divest and be a whole thing. He wouldn't do it. It's just these crazy things pop in your head. Like, I saw social media running with, What former Lions have any eligibility at this point? Like, what's Lewis Delmas up to?
Yeah. I mean, again, it never leaves your soul. Football is something that lives with you forever.
I was always a Rivers guy. I think he is as a competitor as it gets.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably one of the best quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. Not as good as Marino, but beyond that, mm-hmm. And he gets lost in the shuffle in that draft because Roethlisberger and Eli won Super Bowls.
First tick of text, I look down and see. What's Colin Kaepernick up to?
Yeah.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
This news is brought to you by Gardner White. So the city of Ann Arbor has launched this new rebate program focused on shovels and electric snowblowers. Did you hear about this?
No.
So the program runs through March 1st of next year, or until they run out of funding. But basically, you can go and trade in your gas-powered snowblower and receive up to $200 for an electric snowblower, or you can get a free shovel.
Oh, a free shovel.
Yes. Yes. So the rebate covers 100% of the cost of a new shovel.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. How about a couple of them? So I got five kids. I need five shovels.
50% of the cost of a new electric snowblower, or up to $200.
There are snowblowers for under $200.
So they want you to get rid of the gas snowblower.
Yeah. I mean, you've got one that's got to be under $200, right?
I'll give it to you for free. It comes
with
a cord.
You should take it down to Ann Arbor.
Oh, God.
Well, you can't turn it in because it's corded.
It's already electric.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have to turn in the gas powered ones.
But you could trade it, is what I'm saying. Take it to Ann Arbor, make the swap. Take someone's gas.
Well, you should. Yeah, you. I would think that you'd want to look for it. If you can swap, yeah. You're kind of used to that.
Oh, boy.
I appreciate you using that word.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, first responders in Sterling Heights are being praised after they were able to save a woman from a burning vehicle on Monday evening. So officers responded to reports of this serious injury crash. It was near 18 Mile Road in Van Dyke. It was right near 6:30 p.m. And that's when they discovered there was an elderly woman, the driver, trapped inside. Five officers were able to pull her from the vehicle, carry her to safety. They then proceeded to apply a tourniquet, stabilize her until the fire department showed up, who then rushed her to the hospital. She was treated for a severe compound leg fracture, significant bleeding as well. Mm. But the police chief is just praising their actions, saying these officers ran towards a burning vehicle without hesitation because somebody's life depended on it. And their bravery, skill, and teamwork, along with the critical help from bystanders and our fire department, made the difference between life and death, and just said, you know, we're truly proud of these individuals. Well, the two men who posed as DTE workers and then murdered a Rochester Hills man in his home were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. During the men's trial, the sons of the victim, the three sons, spoke. They described their dad as brave and kind. The judge also spoke and let the gentlemen know, shouldn't even call them gentlemen, let the men know that their actions were, quote, absolutely pathetic. The men both chose not to speak. They do plan to appeal their convictions. If you're struggling to find affordable housing, you're not alone. According to data from Realtor.com and Bankrite, 75% of homes that are on the U.S. housing market right now are unaffordable to the typical household. So the typical American household needs to make at least $33,000 more annually to be able to afford a median-priced home. And in most major areas, a six-figure income is needed to buy a typical home. So they say the average household in the U.S. earns $80,000. And to afford a $435,000 median-priced home, they would need to make at least $113,000. So a lot of people are struggling to afford homes in that median range, for sure. So we may have some of the best drivers here in Michigan. But
the best, or did she say?
Yeah, did you say best? Or
I did say best.
Okay. Oh,
it might have sounded like
breast,
which either or.
We got the best drivers.
Yeah, I meant to say best. Yeah.
Go on.
But Detroit residents rank among the most uncaring.
Oh,
it's
really?
Awful. Yeah, according to Wallet Hub. So they looked at 100 of the most populous cities, and they looked at three categories: caring for the community, caring for the vulnerable, and caring for the workforce. And we pretty much apparently suck, because Detroit ranked 97 out of 100. We received an overall score of 43.91. We ranked dead last in caring for the vulnerable, 82nd for caring for the community, and 65th for caring for the workforce. Virginia Beach, on the other hand, is the most caring city.
Oh, okay, that's great. Well, who's 98,
okay, let me see.
99, and 100?
Yeah, who are we beating?
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't go that low.
It doesn't.
I mean, I know it says 100, but it doesn't tell you who the worst is.
It doesn't
is.
Break it down
one by one.
So
oh.
You can take your pick, I guess, and I'll tell you later if you're right or wrong.
You have some cities in Ohio you want to nominate?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Power Surge. End of the hour, some new info on Tarek Skubal. We'll revisit 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, Abraham & Rose has successfully specialized in resolving all types of tax problems for over 30 years. Their extensive experience means that when you're facing an IRS collection or audit, you can rely on their firm. Many law firms come and go, but for 30 years of experience, it's a testament to their success. Their experienced team is ready to evaluate any underlying federal or state income taxes or payroll taxes. All you have to do is visit abrahamandrose.com or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS. We do it every week.
Every week.
Uh-huh. The Power Surge. And this is, we are going into week 15. So coming out of week 14, the teams that I had ranked last week, and I do this, like, 1 through 6. If you're new to the program, 1 through 6 is where I rank the teams. And I kind of let everybody know who's just on the outside looking in. And last week, on the outside looking in, and teams that were trying to figure out if they can hang on. Because Tampa was one of those teams just scratching and clawing to hang on. A lot of injuries. Carolina Panthers, one of those teams as well. And Detroit, our very own Detroit Lions, scratching and clawing to keep on. Kansas City, Green Bay, all out last week. Dallas, obviously, out last week. Carolina, Houston, Buffalo, Indy, the Chargers, Jacksonville, and San Francisco. Did any of them do enough this week or show enough to be able to be bumped up into the top 6? So I'm going to give you a little bit of this week's just out. In fact, I'll give you a reminder real quick. Week 14, number 6 was Philly. Number 5, Chicago. Seattle was at 4. The Rams at 3. Denver at 2. And New England was at number 1. Mm-hmm. So on the outside, looking in, kind of at the bottom of things and teams that I think are pretty much toast. Indy, toast.
Yep.
Great job at the trade deadline. Not working out for
you.
Kansas City.
Good luck with Philip Rivers.
Yeah, 6-7 right now. Not mathematically eliminated, however.
Logically eliminated.
Yes. Tampa is still in the mix.
Struggling, though.
Yeah, totally struggling. And Carolina, like, okay, there's going to be one team that has to win that division. Is it possible that one of those teams wins the division with 8 wins?
They play each other, so I'm going to say
no. Do they play each other once, though?
Twice.
Oh, they play each other twice. So somebody, you know, they could split, and that might be their only win.
Yeah.
some comedy in what's going on here, because there are some divisions that are awful. There are some divisions that are spectacular. Dallas, again,
done.
Not mathematically eliminated, and Philly has lost 3 in a row.
Yep.
Hey, great job at the trade deadline, Philly. Baltimore, 6-7, Pitt. 7-6.
Yeah, you don't need to consider them right now.
Somebody has to win the division.
No, I know, but they shouldn't be in power surge
consideration. No. Detroit, outside looking in, 8-5, although coming off a nice win against Dallas. Buffalo, 9-4. They've got a big matchup this week at New England.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. That was a big win in Buffalo for New England. Can Josh Allen, can he rally the troops? The Chargers, on the outside looking in, and some of this is, I almost put them in simply because they are finding ways to continue to win, even though they're injured, and huge Justin Herbert fan. And I only continue to grow as a Justin Herbert fan because he had surgery on his non-throwing hand, had a plate installed. He's still out there. I thought it was amazing. And I love the fact, and not going to name his name, but the adjustments made for Justin Herbert. If he's supposed to hand the ball off, yeah, the running back's coach is a great coach. If they has to hand the ball off with his left hand, a little pitch.
Yeah.
All right, and a great adjustment. Get Omarion Hampton back. So, hey, we'll see what they end up doing. Jacksonville, still on the outside looking in, but they just keep winning. It's kind of that team that I give no respect to, but they're 9-4.
John, they're going
to
end up winning like 11, 12 games.
I know. How?
I know.
Okay. Defense, I'll tell you. That's
turnovers.
How. Yeah. San Francisco, 9-4. Still on the outside looking in because we only put 6 teams in. Chicago gets bumped out with that loss. Philly losing 3 in a row. I already mentioned it, 8-5. Still winning their division, but
not in the top six.
No. Hey, again, nice job at the trade deadline. Only one sack, Jalen Phillips, happened to be against the Lions.
I was going to say, let's not toot our horn too much. We didn't do anything.
Well, I'm just, my point is, all those teams that did something, I will talk about it later. Number six, the Green Bay Packers at 9-3-1.
Not in the top six?
No, I just said number six. Okay, yeah, sorry. Listen. And here's part of why I think their offense, while their offense isn't great, I think getting Christian Watson back has really helped that offense. If they can just simply stay healthy at the skilled position, and you know, keep looking at Rashawn Gary, Micah Parsons, the ability to pressure quarterbacks. And there's going to be a theme here. The top six teams, all of them, I would say, are whether they metrically are in the top six of defenses, because you can make numbers say whatever you want. Yeah. I think these are all top defenses in the NFL.
For Green Bay, 4-0 in their division, first place in the North. They're favored the next time they go to Chicago. They are clearly in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Number five, Houston. And
we discussed pre-show. We didn't think you had the guts to do it.
Oh, didn't think I had the guts to do it. And you actually mentioned this before we went live on air. Yep. There's a team. You're no way you're going to put them. And I knew instantly you were talking about Houston. So number five, written in ink. All right. Not in pencil. Didn't scratch anything out. Houston 8-5 right now. And getting C.J. Stroud back, being able to keep their heads above water with a backup quarterback. We always said that, hey, if a team goes with their starting quarterback goes down, he was out for 3 weeks with a concussion. How many teams would that ruin their season? It didn't, and it didn't because of their defense. They are playing almost as good a defense as you're going to find in the NFL. Seattle is at number four, and I know there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, Sam Darnold, he can't win the big one. They're 10-3 right now. They have what I would say is the best receiver, playing as the best receiver, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, in the NFL right now. He's having an unbelievable season, and I think this is actually the best defense in the NFL. From the front that they're able to apply pressure with four, sometimes even with three. Yep. The back end they have is just tremendous. Denver comes in at number three, and they're here simply because they lead in sacks by, what, 12?
That's ridiculous.
Over the rest of the NFL. I can't remember the exact number is right now, but 11-2. The reason that they're not any higher is their offense has a tendency to become anemic. Bo Nix, not a top-line quarterback, but Sean Payton, top-level coach. He's getting as much as he possibly can out of them, and they're finding ways to win games. They're all close games, and I think that'll eventually bite them in the backside as we get towards the end of the season, maybe even the playoffs. Number two. Now, remember, last week I had the New England Patriots at one. They don't play, but they do get bumped down to the two spot. New England, 11-2. And I think they have the best combination in all three phases. When you look offense, defense, special teams, they are playing at an elite level right now. And as I mentioned, they host Buffalo this weekend. So a statement game for them, an opportunity to stake their claim as the best team in the league, and to possibly separate themselves from Denver.
It would all but clinch the division. It may even clinch the division.
No, it will clinch the division this weekend, yeah. So, number one team is the Rams. And I mentioned New England, best combination of all three phases. The Rams, I think, best offense. It's high-flying. They've got a number of different weapons. They've continued to develop a couple of running backs in the backfield. But the one detriment that they have is being able to protect Matthew Stafford. Now, he's got great pocket presence. He's playing at maybe an MVP level, maybe is the MVP right now. But they are, Havenstein, their tackle, is out. He's on IR. Mm-hmm. And they do struggle to protect him a little bit. He gets the ball out quick. Defensively, that front seven is a nightmare. An absolute nightmare. They can pressure the quarterback from all four guys up front. They do a great job of working in some blitzes. They stop the run. They're tough. Now, the one weakness I have, I don't think they're great on special teams, but they score so many points offensively. And if they don't get that first down on a punt return, hey, it doesn't matter. The offense comes in and takes over.
I have a hard time finding a weakness for this team. So you mentioned the you know, Stafford. He's only been sacked 17 times this year. It's 29th among NFL quarterbacks. And when he does get hit, quarterbacks tend to get all kinds of jumbled up. he's a tough SOB. He'll step right back in and fire in a football.
He is. The reason I say a protection issue is there are times when he could find Nacua downfield or Davante Adams. He just doesn't have enough time. So he does do a great job of getting rid of the ball. Sometimes it's in the dirt. Sometimes it's thrown away. Sometimes it's a pass to a running back.
But they are a top 10 defense against the run, top 10 in sacks. They've got a quarterback leading an MVP charge with not one but two bona fide, you know, wide receiver ones. Davante Adams is playing like a wide receiver one, and everybody knows Puka. The team I would have been bold. I would have left Seattle out.
I know you don't like Seattle, but
I just don't.
You have a Sam Darnold issue.
I have a Sam Darnold issue. I think they have a Sam Darnold issue, and they don't really have any marquee wins. I know this isn't college football, but I don't see a lot of marquee wins for Seattle.
Not enough
this
data points.
Well, they'll play the Rams a couple weeks from now.
I think you had the right six. I had Seattle at six. I'm kind of with Jim in that camp, but you have to respect what they've done. The big thing with me is Houston's up to four now. So they won five games in a row.
Six of seven.
Yep. Four of their wins this year against the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and Colts. Those are really good teams. Here's their five losses. All single-digit losses to the Rams, Bucks, Jags, Seahawks, Broncos, all playoff teams.
Yeah.
This defense is becoming elite. I think I would put them in the Super Bowl right now as the AFC representative.
It's bold, but you can make a case. It's wide open in the AFC. It's a power surge, 97.1.
Hey, there's nothing like Michigan. The pride, the grit, the game day energy. There's a beer that gets it. It's Founders Michigan Pilsner. Brewed right here in the heart of Michigan. It's crisp, light, and built for those who go all in. So whether you're tailgating in Ann Arbor or kicking back after a long day, as proud sponsors of Michigan Athletics, we're raising a cold one to the maize and blue. Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed for Michigan, built for you. Find Michigan Pilsner at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Good morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, 97.1. Got Gov and Greg behind the glass. We got Lions tickets to give away today on the show, 8 o'clock hour. Name that Lion to win a pair of tickets for their game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Evan Petzold will join us from the winter meetings in Orlando at 7:35. Get the latest on what the Tigers are up to. Played a little audio yesterday, and he's been writing stories and cranking out content, so we'll get it from him.
Yeah,
what's
the
latest?
Make sure we don't shoot the messenger.
No. On the Scoobal front, you sent this report, and I saw this on social media, and I don't think it's credible, but it does get you thinking. So, David Pingelor is a sports anchor in Los Angeles at KTLA. And I did just verify he is on their website. He is actually employed by a TV station in Los Angeles. And he sent out the following tweet 9 hours ago. Tarek Skubal update. I'm hearing the Skubal deal is essentially in place. The pieces are agreed to. The framework is done. What's holding it up is the long-term extension and ownership approval in Detroit. The Tigers won't greenlight it without the owner sign-off, and the Dodgers won't ship out that kind of haul without a long-term commitment. That's the final hurdle, and he tags KTLA and a bunch of hashtags. No one else is confirming this. None of the most respected baseball insiders are giving this any oxygen.
Right.
I'm not calling him a liar. I just don't know how credible it is.
Correct. And because it's out there in the universe, we want to make sure that we talk about everything that's going on out there. It is there. I don't want to say that he's making this up. He may have a source, and how credible is that source?
Is he jumping the gun early? Also possible.
Sure. But it does raise the question, you know, and I think if this happens and they do another contract, whether it's deferred money or it's just more money than anyone else can pay, I think it's just another step in the direction of there's no baseball in 27. That has nothing to do with the contract or with Skubal or anything like that, but it just shows that there is a team out there, and we know that there are a couple of teams that are just able to spend more money than anyone else, and it's going to become almost impossible to compete with those teams.
I don't know how eminent a Skubal trade would be, but I think part of bringing this up is what would your reaction be? Like, is this what you want to happen? I think that there are three camps for Tarek Skubal. Trade, extend, or you just keep him through the season? Trade, keep, or sign? Those are the three camps for Tarik Skubal. So which camp do you find yourself in as rumors swirl, as the winter meetings take place? John, which camp are you in?
So the initial question was, what would be your reaction if he was traded?
Yes.
And my reaction would be reserved. I wouldn't be surprised. My action would be reserved to evaluate what they got in return. Mm-hmm. And if they were able to get what I would deem, in my own opinion, mm-hmm. enough of a return, and maybe that's, you know, one or two everyday players and two top prospects, then I'd have to look at it and say, I kind of thought that that's what should be done. And so I guess I'm in the trade him camp, because I don't know if he would accept 4 years, $180 million. Or 5 years, $250 million.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I don't think so.
And so if that's not the case, I don't want to go any longer than that.
Yeah.
And it, because of his age, because of his past injuries.
Because of the way he's used.
Well, yeah, and that's it. Like if he could just simply be a victim of the times. And nobody's going to paint Tarik Skubal as a victim. But if he has been trained and he has been programmed that he can only go from 95 to 105 pitches, and 105 pitches would be a max, then I don't know that you're going to get the value. If you pay him, are you actually getting what you're paying for? I don't think you're getting enough.
So I want to answer this understanding that I'm not playing MLB The Show and understanding that this is the situation the Tigers are in. If it was purely up to me, I would pay Tarik Skubal an 8-year deal. I'd look at the Scherzer situation and say, he walked, won a couple Cy Youngs in a World Series. I'm willing to bite the bullet and pay star players. But I don't believe he's signing an extension here. Not now. Not in the offseason when everybody else gets to bid on him. I also don't see the Tigers rallying the troops and sinking all their resources to win a World Series this year with him. So I am left with one camp and one camp only. Trade Tarik Skubal. Disappointingly, begrudgingly, understanding the world we live in, that this isn't in a vacuum, this is the world the Tigers are operating in, it's trade Tarik Skubal. 248-539-9797. Is that the camp that you find yourself in? Trade, keep, sign. 248-539-9797.
And I wouldn't be mad if they signed him. Again, it's not our money. The only time I would get upset is if they do sign him to an 8-year deal, and in 5 years, he's not Tarik Skubal. I mean, he'll be Tarik Skubal, but he's not pitching like the AC is now, and they haven't done anything to add to it.
Right. Yeah, look, anytime you sign a long-term deal, you're probably going to end up biting a bullet on the last few years. That's just how it works. So either you're going to be an organization that tries, aggressively spends, and the cost of running a high payroll baseball team is you may have a couple guys at the end of their career that aren't living up to the contract. The alternative is you get to run it like a small market team.
I would be more accepting of overpaying guys like they did with Miggy. Now, at the end of the contract, it was terrible, but an everyday guy.
Position players, yeah.
And instead of once every 5 days, and you're hoping to get to the seventh inning, but most likely it's going to be the sixth, like I just don't know that the value is there. And I'd rather bite the bullet on overpaying a guy at the end of his contract if he's an everyday guy in today's day and age.
I just feel like there's really only one way this ends based on the real world and everything we're reading. He's not signing an extension this offseason with the Tigers. The Tigers aren't adding multiple impact players in free agency. They're not going to win the World Series next year, and he would leave for nothing. You trade him and you maximize the haul, and maybe it's the Dodgers, maybe it's the Mets, maybe it's someone who views him as that final piece.
If they keep him, then they have to pivot and get active in free agency.
Yeah,
I'm a little curious if we're in this window right now this week where if the Tigers' plan was to go to the meetings and explore massive offers. And if they got what they liked, they do it. If they don't, then they pivot to keep them and start going after free agents. Like, there's no reason to keep him if you're not going to get serious about competing next year.
I think the problem is, and we'll talk more about it, coming up next here. I think they may convince themselves, well, we're in the playoffs. We are doing enough to win with them. And we are willing to walk the plank because we are in a bad division and we will be in the playoffs. And
the young guys are going to get better.
Exactly. 97-1.